Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And welcome into the Steve Jones Show as we kick off another week with you on News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at stevejonesshow.com, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Twitter handle at Steve Jones PSU, and subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast. We can drop the shows to your smartphone and tablet so you can listen to them anytime, anywhere. And you can subscribe on iTunes, the Apple Podcast app, and Google Play. And we always have 3 months of shows archived on the podcast page at stevejonesshow.com. And today we're brought to you by Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury. New year, and if that means new changes in your life, you have to make sure your policy, your insurance policies are up to date to match those changes in your life, because when life happens, you want to make sure you're covered, and they'll get you the brand and the package, the policy that'll fit your needs and your budget. Those are the people you want in your corner when life happens. So stop by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, and go online to purdyinsurance.com. And of course, Steve will be checking in from the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors Ford Lincoln Hyundai, North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. So we will recap the Eagles matchup in New Orleans yesterday. We'll check in with Matt Leon from News Radio 1060, KYW in Philadelphia. And we'll also get a Penn State basketball recap from the Michigan State game from yesterday in the Jordan Center with Ben Jones from statecollege.com. So we're with you live till 5, and then we'll have our late-day news roundup with Matt Catrillo and high school hoops coming up tonight with Kevin and the Chief, Shikellamy at Montoursville tonight. And they'll be on starting at 7:09 here on WKOK and on the WKOK app. So the Eagles' last two late-season runs have been something pretty crazy. Last season, winning the Super Bowl behind Nick Foles after Carson Wentz suffered the injury. Well, Wentz was injured again this season. Foles powering the Eagles into the playoffs, upsetting the Bears in the wild card round, and then last night losing to the Saints by a score of 20-14. Eagles head coach Doug Peterson had a perfect system.
Your former quarterback.
What's that?
Your former quarterback.
Oh, the former quarterback of the Philadelphia Eagles. Okay.
Yeah. He's not coming back.
No. Will he go to Jacksonville? That's going to be an interesting dynamic as to how that's all going to shake out. Yeah. Who may end up in Jacksonville? Could it be Foles? Could it be maybe Joe Flacco? Or maybe if Tom Coughlin is so inclined to get on the phone with Eli Manning? Let's see. It'll be interesting.
Yeah.
See which domino falls first and then everything else after that.
Yeah. Well, he was terrific. He will forever be thought of in glowing terms by Philadelphia fans. He did something that hadn't been done since Norm Van Brocklin. He won them a championship. He is forever. I mean, and really, he is a pro's pro. Again, you got to look to the future. And when you look at the future is Carson Wentz. And you got to ride that. You've got to ride that horse. And but all four home teams won this weekend. Also notice what happened this weekend. The highest scoring team happened to be the New England Patriots. Yep. Chiefs, no. And again, Andrew Luck. There's certain things I like to take into account. But we picked games this weekend. I think we all did fairly well, right?
Not me. I went 1-3.
Oh, well, you stink.
I was bad. Right. Congrats, you went 3-1. You turned it around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's certain things. The one area where I made a mistake was I picked the Chargers. And the reason I made a mistake on the Chargers was I didn't take into account, and as somebody who does this for a living, I didn't take into account the travel. The Chargers were not smart about what they did. I realize it takes a personal sacrifice among the players to do this. I understand that because family is important. I got it. Okay? But I'd have kept them on the East Coast. I didn't take in the. I did not take into the into account the 9,000 miles of travel, because they had to go to Baltimore 3,000, had to go back to Los Angeles 3,000, and then go to New England 3,000. That takes a lot out of you. Now the New England game plan was better; it was superior. So I'm not going to take anything away from Josh McDaniels and what they did offensively. I'm not going to take away what Sony Michel did. I'm not going to take away the defensive game plan that Belichick certainly had his hand in. I'm not going to take away from that. But, again, the back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I told my team, hey, look, I got a whole facility for you down in Florida. We're going to use a Florida facility. I'm going to keep you on the East Coast, keep you on Eastern time, and then play from there. Because they're playing New England and Foxborough and Tom Brady, so it's already exponentially difficult to begin with. You know how I feel about start times. The West Coast team playing at 10 a.m. in 20-degree weather. Let's see. Los Angeles team playing at 1 o'clock Eastern time, 10 o'clock Pacific time in 20-degree weather. And I should have taken that more into account, even though I do know the Chargers have won 5 of their last 6 Eastern time zone games. I do know that. And then the other part I did take into account, to be frank with you, was why did I pick Kansas City? I picked Kansas City for a lot of reasons. A, home. B, weather. And this was the big one to me. It was Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck, Andrew Luck. What is Andrew Luck? He is a dome quarterback. He's a dome quarterback. Remember, the Colts play in a dome. The playoff game in Houston was in a dome. Kansas City is all elements. And I don't mean snow. I mean wind. His ball fluttered all day because, again, he had to throw the football in the elements. Let me tell you one move that was made that in the end worked out great, but I wasn't crazy about. How about Sean McVay going for it on 4th and goal, where a field goal would have made it a 2-score game? Just because they made it doesn't mean I still like it. And I didn't, you know, I was like, okay, well, yeah, okay, fine. I felt like he got away with it. And then there's the Saints and the Eagles. This is where I give Sean Payton a lot of credit. You have to know who you are at that present moment as a coach. Sometimes it's difficult to gauge. But the Saints, who were high-flying, high-powered in September and into October, transitioned through necessity into a grind-it-out football team. And he also sensed and understood the moment for his team. They were in trouble. So then he went with the fake punt because he knew he had to somehow change the dynamics, that he had to give Philadelphia something that they weren't expecting. And to his credit, they did it. And I think that, you know, the fake punt changed the dynamics, changed the momentum, and it was, even if they didn't make it, the Eagles would have had it. There was risk. There's no question about it. And to his credit, they made it. And not only they make it, but they also then seize the momentum of the game. And again, playing in that dome, let's get back to the dome team again. The noise in that dome was off the charts yesterday. Now, did it bother the Eagles? Probably not. They're a bunch of pros, but it still does play a factor, does play a role. And I know, of course, a lot of Eagle fans are upset. I understand that because they jumped out to a 14-0 lead, and I'm sure a lot of people are sitting there saying, ha-ha, here we go. And I don't blame you for feeling that way. I don't blame you for feeling that way because, I mean, you jump out to a lead like that in the road against a Saints team that, if you really have been following what's going on, has been struggling. Offensively in the last month, ever since that Dallas game.
Yeah, there are quite a few guys that got hurt in that game. Brandon Brooks tore his Achilles. He was out rather early. I noticed Fletcher Cox going into the locker room not once but twice, and Michael Bennett was in and out quite a bit. But they really toughed it out. I give Michael Bennett credit, though, for that tackle that he got on Alvin Kamara. Then missed field goal after that. That was huge at that point.
Right. No question. No question. But again, you know, he changed the dynamics by making that call because he knew he had to. Sometimes you've got to do something to attempt to change the dynamics of the game, that the status quo is not going to work.
I was floored where they were set up on the field at that point when he made that call. I would have thought, you know, inside the 40s, sure, I could definitely see making that call. But boy, I mean, he was backed up around his own 30-yard line making that call.
Yeah, I know, but you know what? I don't blame him for doing it because of where they were in the game at the time. Where they were in the game, I think, dictated his thought process. You know what? If I don't change up something now, it may never change.
Seeing the replay, a lot of the Eagles guys on defense they stayed out onto the field. I mean, when they saw number 7, the Saints' backup quarterback, come out, they knew what was coming next.
Yeah, we'll Taysom Hill, and that's part of it. But you know, that's how they use Hill. But he had to change something. Conversely, Sean McVay, I didn't like the call he made on fourth down. I mean, I know they're pounding it. I know they're running it. I know they're getting it done. I got it. Okay. But the clock tells you, you know how they have a card as to how, you know, when to go for two, what the score, the point values are. You know how they have that?
Yeah, it's pretty much every coach has that. Yeah,
every coach has that card.
Yeah.
Well, at this point, there is a card, and the card is called the scoreboard. I don't need the card. I look up at the scoreboard. I'm winning by 8. I've got 7:15 to go. If I make it 11, I'm now looking at the Cowboys' offense telling them that they have to score twice. And with about 7:15 to go in the game, it's probably 50-50 odds that the Cowboys only have the ball one more time anyway. Now, he got away with it. And so because he got away with it, it's not a topic of discussion. But when he did it, I thought, don't do that. That's not the right move. Then they scored, and I still sat back and said, no, it still wasn't the right move, in my opinion. I'm usually a go-for-it guy. You know, I think my team's going to make it on fourth down, go for it, you know, be the forward-moving team and so forth. But then there's a certain point where you say to yourself, okay, what gives me the best chance to win? All right? Being up 2 scores with 7 minutes to go gives me the best chance to win. Because, okay, they get stopped. Well, they're 99 yards in front of them. Well, the way his secondary is playing, I'd like to give my team a chance with a 2-score lead the way his secondary is playing, where I feel really good about getting the points.
I've noticed this year with all the games that I've watched, teams that go for it on fourth down, they're converting. I really haven't seen all that many times where, you know, teams get stopped. But actually, during that Rams-Cowboys game, there was a 4th-and-1 where Zeke Elliott got stopped.
Well, there was, but also, what would have dictated my thought process, and I look, and I know they scored, so, I mean, it worked for them. But remember what the three previous plays were. Because it was 1st-and-goal at the 6. 0-5-0. Like, okay. It's a little more roll the dice than you think because of the two zeros. But they got away with it. They won. Their running game was outstanding. They dominated the line of scrimmage. Kansas City dominated the line of scrimmage. New England dominated the line of scrimmage. And the Saints and the Eagles game was the best game of the day. But the other three games, on both sides of the ball, offensive and defensive lines, the line of scrimmage was dominated on both sides by the team that won. And it turned out in this case, they were all home teams. How'd the King do this weekend? King did well?
Let's see. King was 1-1. He was 2-1. You were 3-1. He was 2-2, and I was 1-3.
Well, he was getting all happy on Friday.
Yeah.
He may not be happy now. Get him on the phone. No.
Okay. Actually, he did text me last night. He worked all weekend. He watched.
Of course, he did.
Yeah, he. I think he watched maybe the last half of the Eagles Saints game yesterday. That was all the football he watched all weekend.
I watched. The Kansas City Indianapolis game was 14-0 when I joined it. Then I watched all the Rams Cowboys. Then I saw maybe a quarter and a half of the Chargers-Patriots game, and I only saw the last 3 minutes of the Saints game. Because of the basketball game yesterday. All right, now we've talked a lot about the NFL. I know a lot of Penn State fans would like me to get into the transfer database. And the next half hour I'm going to dedicate to the transfer database. We'll talk about that. Because we are in an era, and this isn't just something, you know, players entering early into the NFL draft in mass is something that Penn State players aren't used to. There is nobody out there that's used to this. This didn't come into play until it started October 15th. The transfer database. And you got a lot of names entering the transfer database. And because of that, there's consternation. What does it mean? What does it do to the football team? I have a lot to discuss with that, and I'll do that in the next half hour as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. They'll take
for nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855. Or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai has the brand new Hyundai you deserve with savings of over $7,000. Buy a $25,000 2018 Santa Fe for only $18,259. That's a savings of over $7,000. A 2018 Hyundai Elantra is discounted to an unbelievable $14,810. Sunbury Motors Hyundai has a 2018 Santa Fe Sport that was $34,890 and now only $28,840. Hyundai comes with America's best 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. No matter what size SUV you're looking for, Sunbury Motors has it. 2019 Hyundai Konas, only $23,210. 2019 Hyundai Tucson, only $26,110. 2019 Santa Fe's, only $26,775. And the 2019 Santa Fe XL starts under $30,000. Now is the time to get the new Hyundai you deserve. From Sunbury Motors Hyundai, in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I don't care if it's auto, home, or life or business, whatever it may be. Purdy Insurance is going to take great care of you. First of all, here are the basic questions. I need insurance, and I need to be covered. Will the insurance you get me make sure I'm covered? Yes. I'd love to get it at the best price. They'll take care of that. Check. If there's a claim, how am I going to be treated? How about as if it happened to them? All right, Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. They check every box because the customer comes first. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kyler Murray has opted to enter the NFL draft. He does have 72 hours, by the way, to back out, but he has put his name into the NFL draft. More of a move that affects Penn State fans because they're on the schedule next year, but TJ Hockenson, the tight end for Iowa, has also entered his name into the NFL draft, which means Noah Fant, the other tight end who opted out of the bowl game for Iowa, he already put his name into the draft. So two talented tight ends that really were the cornerstone of their passing game at Iowa, both entering the NFL draft. So Hockenson and Fant are both in. Kyler Murray has entered the NFL draft. He has 72 hours to withdraw his name. And we'll see how that plays out. Look, Murray brings that ad-lib factor to go with a really good arm to the table. What he doesn't bring to the table is stature. He's only, I mean, they claim he's 5'10". I mean, is he? But it doesn't mean at 5'9 and whatever. I think you'll find out at the combine he's 5'9 something. But so is Doug Flutie. And I think in a lot of ways this guy plays the kind of dynamic game that Flutie did. Now, Flutie had great success in the Canadian League, but it wasn't like he didn't have any success in the NFL because he did, especially with Buffalo. The Music City Miracle, that was the ownership telling I think it was Wade Phillips was the coach at the time. You're going to play Rob Johnson. Meanwhile, Flutie sitting on the sideline. No. That's not quite the right move. But that's history. But Murray has put his name in. Now let's get to the transfer part. This is new for everybody. There's certain names you expected. It was not unexpected that Jalen Hurts would put his name in. When everything started October 15th, it wasn't really a surprise that Kelly Bryant put his name in. But as time has gone, oh, wow, Tate Martell of Ohio State, he's going to put his name in. Oh. How about Kendall? Now, Kyler Murray has opted for the NFL draft. Kendall, who's the heir apparent at Oklahoma, put his name into the transfer database. And then, of course, what is disconcerting for some Penn State fans is the fact that four Penn State players put their name into the database. Now, it doesn't always necessarily mean you're going to, but it's an indication of what's going on and what they're thinking. You know, are there greener pastures for them, for themselves? Now, you already had this with Faison Walton. You had this with Daylon Darien. You had this with Jabari Butler. So that's seven guys that appear to be in, you know, three for sure, and then, of course, four more that put their names into the transfer portal. Or a total of seven. And the other ones were backups along the way. Didn't play much. Maybe on some special teams. That was about it.
Now, the four that put their names in this time through have played. And all had eligibility, obviously, to return next year. What's going on? Well, sometimes the dynamics are as simple as follows. Let's start with Juwan Johnson. Juwan, obviously, 2 years ago, caught, what, 53, 54 passes. He caught the game winner in the Iowa game, and he had a really good year. This year, we all know Juwan struggled. Didn't mean he didn't have some great moments, like that one-handed catch against Ohio State, or the 54-yard play he got hurt on against Indiana, where he took that pass over the middle and then swung it down the sideline, went 54 yards. 40 of that 54 happened to be him running with it. And so it's not like he didn't have moments. He did. But we all know he struggled this year. Let's look at the dynamics now of what it looks like in that spot. Justin Shorter really came on at the end of the year. Really came on. He got a lot of playing time in the bowl game. So did Juwan. But Shorter got a lot of playing time in the bowl game. Jahan Dotson. Natural. I mean, Dotson makes a lot of things look easy because he's a natural at it. Okay, Daniel George. I think Daniel George is going to be a really good player here. Not quite the 6'4 frame as Juwan Johnson, but he's 6'2 and he's thick. And I think he sees that. Now, the next part, what does he see? All right, well, the next part, he looks over and he sees there's Mack Hippenhammer. You know they've recruited Dunmore out of Florida. So now you're looking at a situation that is a bit crowded at the inn. And, you know, I don't know what kind of conversation he ended up having along the way with James Franklin or whomever. But maybe he just felt after getting his degree as a grad transfer, he can go someplace else, get more playing time, won't be in as crowded a situation, and can maybe make a mark, get himself to the draft. Right? Brandon Polk. As we know, Brandon Polk didn't play the last four games. And it wasn't an injury situation. It was DMPCD. It was did not play, coach's decision. Also, coming up on his fifth year. Obviously, he wants to go to a situation that's going to open the door for him to get some playing time. He's in the same situation. And let's take, in particular, let's look at the slot spot. There's Hamler, there's Hippenhammer, and Dotson. All three can play it. And with Shorter and George and Dunmore and so forth, you start asking yourself, okay, I just DNP'd CD in four straight games. Now I got to think about what I got to do with my future here. And again, I'm looking around. I'm wondering if there's any room at the inn. All right. Zach McPherson. Zach McPherson did a really good job on special teams. Zach McPherson, when he played a corner, I thought did a good job. But again, where are you in this situation? John Reed. Tariq Castro Fields. Okay. Now let's go to the next group. The next group would include Donovan Johnson, who in all likelihood would not only be that corner but also the nickel guy, and a guy you can tell they really like, Trent Gordon. There's two deep right there. And there doesn't look like there's a door to a path to starting for Zach McPherson. So again, there's another guy who saw some playing time at corner, a lot on special teams where he did a good job. I think he had 7 special teams tackles this year. But he's also looking at a crowded situation and also how they recruited. Lamont Wade. Lamont Wade Obviously came in with a lot of hype, five-star, great athlete. Saw some playing time at corner and on special teams as a freshman, then got moved to safety. Also saw time as the nickelback early on, too, last year. And he got moved to safety and essentially became the dime DB. And that was, what, 4 to 8 times a game, plus playing on special teams. And same story. Okay, Garrett Taylor's there. Well established, well entrenched. All right, now you go to the next part. All right, well, on the next part, there's Jonathan Sutherland. It became obvious as the season went that Sutherland was the next guy up in that secondary. Let's go back to Nick Scott. Remember in the Indiana game, Nick Scott ended up getting called for targeting in that game. Well, the next game up, that meant somebody, he got called for targeting in the second half of the game. Because it was the second half of the game, it meant he had to sit out the first half of the next game at Michigan. Jonathan Sutherland was the one that got the call to start there, not Lamont Wade. Now you're starting to read into this a little bit and say, okay, where do I fit in all this? And Lamont Wade, like anybody else, has NFL aspirations. Well, if he's in a role and not getting full-time work, maybe he's considering, okay, maybe I should think about transferring, getting myself into a full-time situation, because maybe the door isn't, maybe the door might not be open to me to being in a full-time situation at Penn State. And those are all the things these guys have to consider. I know it's easy to sit there and talk about, you know, the millennials and how, you know, they're not satisfied. They don't get what they want. They want to go and so forth. In the end, we could talk about the student athlete, but they're players. They want to play. Now, it doesn't mean they're not in a situation where somebody's better than they are. Okay? If it turns out that over the process time, somebody's better than you are and the coaching staff has more trust in, it does put you in a situation where you have to think about what you're doing. And so that's what these guys are doing. They want to see what their options are out there because they want to play. And maybe they all have doubts as to how much playing time they're going to get here based on how it's played out so far, and maybe on some of the evaluations I've also received, which that part I don't know and not privy to as to what the exact evaluation happened to be from the position coach. But that's the way it's going to be in college football right now. This is not uncommon to what we see in college basketball all the time. College basketball is awash in transfers. College basketball has between 700 and 800 transfers per year. So college basketball has experienced its fair share of free agency for years. For college football fans who have been used to the stability and the relatively few transfers, there have been some grad transfers over time. Grad transfers have certainly made a difference in certain programs. Now you're seeing transfers and longer list in the transfer area in college football, which college basketball fans are used to, but college football fans are not. These are players that would have provided great depth for Penn State. These are players that I think would have helped Penn State, but these are not starters at Penn State. Now, maybe they could have battled for a spot, but they're not starters at Penn State. But they all would have helped. I mean, Wade would have helped. McPherson would have helped. You know, Polk probably would have helped. Johnson may have helped. But would they have been the prime-time players that you'd be locked in and depending on? No, but they would have provided valuable depth. doesn't mean they don't have valuable depth already on the roster. There's some young guys ready to break through and move forward in this thing because they've recruited very well the last couple of years. And I think some of these players are looking at it saying, okay, I'm looking around and I'm wondering how much time I'm really going to get based on the people I see around me. Just a thought. You may have a different thought. We'll come back with more. If you do, you can express it in the after show. No, I'm just kidding. We'll listen to anybody, obviously. We'll come back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. As we were talking about the transfer database, some refer to it as a transfer portal. Yeah, you know, you put your name in there and you start looking around. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are going to absolutely positively go, but most times you are leaving. It's different, but it's not just different for Penn State fans. I mean, Penn State fans are like, what the heck? Look at all these guys going. It's for every college football fan base. Nobody's used to this. Now, for those who follow college basketball, everybody's used to it. When you're getting 700 to 800 per year, I've always referred to college basketball, as you know on the show, I've referred to April and May as the waiver wire. That's about where this is. It's completely different. Is it too wide open and too free? Yeah, maybe. But it's also the first time through. The rule has only been available now for 3 months. October 15th was the first day that the rule went into effect. I think Kelly Bryant was the Clemson was the first guy to put his name in. Tony from Shamokin. Tony, you didn't put your name into the transfer portal, did you?
Thing is, I don't really like that because to me, if a guy goes to a school and he can't make it, can't beat out the guy ahead of him, stick it out and try harder. And what about the guy at the school he's transferring to? He stayed there, worked his butt off for a couple years, and now you're bringing a guy in, you know, that might just step in front of you. I just don't think that's right. That's my opinion.
Well, of course, when you're recruiting, they may be recruiting a guy that's going to step in and replace you, too. So, so guys sign, that may happen. Look at Akil Lynch. The guy they recruited at his spot ended up taking his spot, some guy named Barkley.
They had exactly. But that's the normal recruiting process.
I always have something when it comes to a fresh... let me tell you, Tony, when it comes to a transfer, there's always one basic question I have on a transfer, always. Why is he leaving?
Exactly.
I want to know why he's leaving because I want to know if I'm going to recruit him, who am I getting and why?
Well, I know they're talking about this one guy thinking about Penn State. Now, Penn State did recruit him. I think he's actually considered Penn State. And at the last minute, he picked another school. And he started at this other school, then got knocked out of his starting position. And now he's looking at Penn State again. You know what I'd tell him?
I have a feeling I know what you'd tell him, Tony. Can we use it on the air?
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do.
Kid from Notre Dame. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even consider him. He had his shot. And if I remember back to the whole story, his high school coach badmouthed Penn State back and forth and was a big fan of the other school he went to. So, to me, that's not the right reason.
Right, and again, I always want to look at the reason why somebody's transferring because I think that's really important. You need as much background as possible to then decide whether or not you should then go after them.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.